Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here in the Real Post Game Show. Some of the numbers for this game are not that embarrassing if you don't know the score and don't realize that New England picked up a lot of stuff late in the game. Yep. For an example, first downs, 29-20. Not that bad, right? Not that bad.
Not bad.
Of course, early on in the game, it was about 4-1, 5-1, something like that. It was 13-1, something like that. Time of possession, 31 minutes for Buffalo, 28 for New England. Oh. Not bad, except that Buffalo had the ball for close to 16 of the first 20 minutes of the game. So they had a big advantage early on, and you caught up when the game really didn't matter that much.
True.
I'll give you another one. Penalties, 5 for 34 for New England, 3 for 47 yards for Buffalo. Well, Buffalo had no penalties at all in the first half. So New England had 3 or 4 of those in the first half.
Fixed.
So a little bit different. And yardage for New England, 305. That's not bad. Of course, they only had about 80 in the first half.
Well, that's what Buffalo had in the first half was 300 yards.
Exactly. 300 yards in the first half. 482.
Holy moly.
So when you look at it, it's not that bad. Yards per play, though, just jumps out at you. 8.9 yards per play. So they were a yard shy of a first down on every single play.
Crazy. That's a big number.
Very interesting.
That's ridiculous.
You know, some of those plays, Glenn, because the Patriots, the Bills are coming down and chopping up a lot of yardage. They might have had a lot less
yards per play.
Yeah, yards per play.
Because they're going up and down the field.
Yes.
So that's they were just going zzz, 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 zzz.
It was unbelievable. They were scoring touchdowns. Think about it. 7 possessions, right? And they scored on all 7 possessions. And then, but you look at it, 6 plays. 70 yards, 7 plays, 80 yards. I mean, it just, it wasn't like there were 14, 15 play drives. They were doing it pretty quickly. All right, back to the phone calls we go, gentlemen. Here's Mike in Maine. Hello, Mike in Maine.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Hey,
thanks
Mike.
For taking my call. I'll try to be as quick as possible. I know a lot of people are holding. So a comment and really just two questions. First off, I agree with the two major points. Defense didn't show up tonight. That was completely evident. I don't think we even had a tackle behind the line of scrimmage. Maybe we had one or two. But
if it happened at the end of the game. There were no negative plays by Buffalo. I remember they said it with about 3 minutes left in the game.
Right. And the other implicit point, we are now drafting to beat Buffalo. Which leads me to my first question really quick. My first question is, I've always been under the impression that NFL defenses are the first to adapt to the game. That's always been my first impression. And I really believe if the running quarterback is here to stay, that these defensive rules need to ease up a little bit in order for the offense to respect the blitz, in order for the offense to respect defensive pressure. So I'm wondering what you guys think about that. And then the second point.
Well, let's go with the first. Let's go with the first one first. Go with the, so we don't lose track.
Sure.
In terms of changing things, so defense have a little bit more of an edge, or not more of an edge, but a fairer chance.
Well, just center it up a little bit. I think if you're going to have two, if you're going to have running quarterbacks, you can't be easing up.
What you got to understand is what the NFL wants. They changed the rules, and they tried to call a lot of it player safety, but they changed the rules to get more scoring in, to make it easier for the quarterbacks,
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but they're not going to go back. They're not going to go backwards because they love it.
No, it's all about.
I agree. I agree with you. I'm not the biggest fan of it. You can't really intimidate receivers anymore. Your quarterbacks are staying there with impunity. I'm with you on that, but don't expect the NFL ever to change anything.
Well, quarterbacks are protected like you can't imagine. I mean, roughing the passer penalties right now. How about the one with Derek Carr in that last drive?
We didn't even see it.
I mean, it was fake. It was like a wrestling move.
He flopped.
Yes.
He flopped. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, I agree. Exactly. It would be nice if they did
so
that.
Anyway, I just really think that defenses need to really start to adapt to the running quarterback. So not only are we drafting for Buffalo, we're also drafting for Miami as well, which is on our heels, guys. They really are. So the only other thing that I'm going to ask you about is with 1:48 to go, and I don't know if this is too granular. Maybe it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. But with 1:48 to go, I saw something on TV that I haven't seen before, and that's a lot of the people coming up to Mac and, like, you know, just consoling him, giving a pat on the back, the whole entire bit. It looked like a lot of his offensive line did that. How important is it as former NFL players that, you know, that happens, and how significant is it going forward? Thanks.
Ready? In terms of guys supporting – supporting each other. It's important.
It's human nature.
It's important.
Of course it is. It's simple.
You work that hard at something, and you try to make things happen. It ends, you know, the last game was terrible. But I think at the end of the year, it's more of a sign of support than anything else.
Don't get down on yourself, kid, whatever. I mean, we saw they showed Hunter Henry kind of consoling him, exactly what the caller was just saying. And I think you're right. That's what it was, Steve. It's a veteran player who sits there and say, hey, don't get down on this. You got a great career ahead of you. You know, that's what they're doing. The one thing I'll totally disagree with him, because I think he's right. Buffalo is the team now that you're going to look at and draft in the offseason. That's the team you have to beat. I'm not buying Miami, and I'm not buying the Jets. And I'll tell you why. Because bad organizations are bad organizations, and they remain bad, okay? Did you think Green Bay or Minnesota or even Chicago has been worked up about the Detroit Lions over the last 20 years?
Nope.
No. In Miami, you saw it this past week. They let go of Brian Flores. They are going into a different direction. It's a mess down there. It is a mess. And it's going to be a franchise that's going to sit there and flounder forever. And we all know what the Jets are. I mean, we know what they are.
True.
So I'm not worried about either one of them. But Buffalo, he's right.
Yeah,
Buffalo is the team you got to now try to match.
Especially the young guys. You know, we want to put them on the back. And we'll start working out in a couple of weeks, and we'll get going. You know, good job. They all do that. They always do that.
Yeah. And the idea that you'll make any decisions on this team based on Miami, not so much. Miami's still, you know, they're a reasonable team. You're not going to have someone like Tua dictate your drafting or defensive philosophy. You're just going to do the best you can against them, and most teams will win against them. That's, you know, just the way it is.
The Buffalo Bills just had the NFL's first ever perfect offensive game. Who is this guy that is tweeting this out? Is he... he's an analyst. Okay. The film room. Okay. Maybe he's one of those, you know, those geeks that work the film room. So maybe he's got something. First ever perfect offensive game. No punts, no picks, no fumbles lost, no field goals, all touchdowns on every single drive until the kneel downs.
Right.
Apparently it's never been done before.
Is it perfect offensively that you missed a couple of extra points?
Oh, there you go.
Huh?
PATs.
Two of them.
PATs.
Yeah, there you go. There's something to hang your hat on, Patriots.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better, Steve. Thank you. I was really feeling crappy, but now I am feeling so much better.
Talk to the Aussie. Yeah.
More phone calls coming up next, right here on The Real Post Game Show.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Real Post Game Show is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com.
The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass.
Zooty, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit zooty.com for details.
And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. Time now for the Real Postgame Show, broadcasting from the best yet private brand studio.
With Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAsi,
and Fred Smirlis.
The Real Postgame Show is brought to you by Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com, the New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. Zooty, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit zooty.com for details. And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers.
The Real Postgame Show. With Ordway, DiAsi, and Smirlis
on WEEI.
A startling end to the New England Patriots season comes on Wild Card Weekend in Buffalo, New York, with, what did they say, the fifth coldest temperatures in the history of the National Football League?
No, was it?
Yeah.
Really?
That's what it said. Matter of fact, I don't think Fred, even up in all of his years in Buffalo, ever played in colder weather than that game tonight.
Oh, yeah. Climate change. Duh.
Well, that's a good point. I forgot about
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to give you guys a test because you said it earlier. Oh,
damn it.
Teams have this. They get blown out in the postseason. It does happen. It just doesn't happen to the Patriots. And by the way, you know, teams talk about that during the regular season. Ah, we just had a bad week and we just got blown out. You know, stuff like that happens. It doesn't happen to the Patriots.
Nope.
So when we talk about 47-17, in the entire Bill Belichick era that takes us through, 21, 22 years now, This was the second worst defeat in the Belichick era. Do you guys have any memory of the worst defeat in the Bill Belichick era? And I'll give you a hint.
All right.
There was a reason. There was a reason that they lost that game.
All right. I'll say the first Super Bowl against the Giants. Was that worse?
It does not work.
Oh, you meant score-wise.
We're talking about score-wise.
Oh, you meant score. Oh, sorry. Score-wise. My bad.
You always have to bring that back. You always have to throw that one in our face.
That was wrong.
Oh, I know. Your son got one of those cheap little rings. Cute. Yeah. Take it around at parties. Look, I got a ring. Yeah.
That was wrong.
Fred, did Fred bring his ring to work tonight? Oh, I apologize. That was a bad. I'm sorry, Fred. I know he gets upset.
You're a funny man.
Funny
man.
Do you remember? I'll give it to you.
All right. What is it?
2003. This is thanks to Ben Volen. 31-0 to Buffalo in Buffalo. And there was a reason. Lawyer Malloy was dumped that week.
Yep.
And he played for Buffalo in that game.
That's right. Yep.
And the players, you know, Fourier said that the players kind of threw the towel in that week.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this one and I'm saying.
Because he cut.
Did they throw the towel in this week? Because I hate to say it. We're talking about the entire Belichick era. It almost seemed that way because there was no energy. There was no effort out of the gate in this game. And so it almost had the same type of atmosphere that you had back in 2003 where players were all pissed off because Bill cut Lawyer Malloy. And then he ended up playing against them in Buffalo that week.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And then ended up beating them by the same score later, right? Didn't they?
31-0 later on in the season in Foxborough.
Yeah, that's it. Just doesn't happen. It and not surprising. First off, that's a lot of points. 31. Not a lot of teams, you know, score 31, let alone win by 31. But that's pretty interesting. This was
one of the. Leaders.
I just looked it up. Just looked it up. So 30-point deficit is the second worst. 31 was the first. So during the 22-year period, Bill has had two of those that are over 30 points. Detroit Lions have had 86. Jacksonville has had 72. This is just laughable. But this hurts. I'm sorry. This hurts tonight. 47. What was it?
It does. It hurt worse than the score, you know, because you just saw things that weren't really characteristic of this team. Guys weren't flying around. Guys, nobody was making plays. Nobody was stepping up. And, you know, it just didn't seem like there was anything there that they could latch onto.
Everything is based on expectations. And I think based on what we saw all season long, even though they did sputter down the gate, though it was last week was Miami and they always sputter, even with Brady in Miami. I think the expectations were, they're going to be competitive. They're probably not going to win because Buffalo is the better team. We've all been saying that now for weeks. But I think we felt they would be competitive, and instead they were embarrassing. Right. Let me go to Alan. Alan's in Watertown. Hey, Alan. Hey, Al.
Good morning, guys. I still continue to think your analysis program is the best there is. Question. When the team in the fourth quarter was trying to extricate some kind of a respect factor out of the game, why, when they were on the 4-yard line twice, did they choose to pass to try to get in the end zone instead of doing what they were supposed to be doing the best, which was their running game? And also, this was a team that it was striking how they went backwards after the Indianapolis game. And Mac indicated, well, we don't want to be sorry for ourselves. And did that indicate some sort of either a locker room / management kind of issue that permeated the fact that they were so backward in the last five games?
Yeah, see, I think that's a good point that Alan's bringing up right now, because we were all stunned that night that Mac Jones came out and he was talking about feeling sorry. And then I think he was on with Christian and Lou the next day, and he said something like, well, I phrased it wrong or something like that. And yet, then we heard Matthew Slater talk that next week. Was there possibly a situation where some of the players on this team just didn't get it, just didn't understand it?
Could be, sure. And you need what I think they have pretty good leadership on the team. You need, if that happens, you got to look at leadership and coaching in that situation in terms of not letting guys feel like that, not letting guys even think in that direction. You know, and that's, again, you've got a lot of guys that weren't on this team when they were winning Super Bowls. You know, you got to
build that up again.
You got a lot of guys that don't know that it takes a lot more than just talent to win Super Bowls. It takes teams playing together. It takes teams rebounding from a bad loss. It takes teams to pick each other up when they need it. It takes a lot more. It's not just a rah-rah scenario. It takes a lot. So,
and the guys that were the backbone here that Bill kept around, because I think he needed to maintain the culture here, the Devin McCourty's, the Matthew Slater's, they may be gone this offseason. This may be it for Slater.
True.
And with McCourty, I don't know, does he come back?
Hightower?
Hightower's another one.
Right.
So those are the guys that were your so-called backbone and leadership.
Right.
If you take them out of the equation, who takes over those roles?
You've got to have
some new blood.
I don't know. Juwan Bentley, is an active linebacker. Maybe Judon. I'm just talking defensively. Obviously, offensively, you're looking at Mac Jones and maybe.
Yeah, you're having trouble.
Yeah,
maybe it's you're mumbling. Yeah, because I think it's
maybe it's one of the running backs. Maybe it's got to be a guy, despite popular belief or despite some belief. Usually, your captains are your better players. You know, it's just the guys that are leading the charge for the most part. When you're talking about, it's always going to be a quarterback and oftentimes a linebacker or a safety or something like that. So it's guys that are in the fray and leading the charge. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be not a leadership crisis. There's going to be some shoes to fill. If two or three guys that have been around for the Super Bowls and have been around for knowing what it takes to win, then who do you replace them with?
So I'll give you another one, and that is that J.C. Jackson, he's going to want top dollar. And based on the season that he's had, last two seasons he's had, and now with no Gilmore here, he's your shutdown corner. I'm not sure they're going to come up with that price. So they're probably going to end up being in a situation where they tag him with a franchise tag.
Right.
And maybe he's pissed off about that. So that's another thing that you have to deal with here in the offseason, yeah, is you're still building to try to put that team together. Yep. A lot of stuff to talk about. Let me go to Dino in Jersey. Dino.
Dino.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Dino.
I got their new motto. Instead of do your job, it's do what you want.
Today, anyway.
Being they can just do whatever. I mean, whatever Bill's selling, they ain't buying. Okay? Then you
they didn't buy. How about this? They didn't buy, Dino. They didn't buy it today. How's that sound?
I'll make this point quick, and then I want to talk about Glenn being with his roster builder, okay? So in eight losses, what was the common theme? 200-plus yards rushing, bad penalties, turnovers, right?
Mistakes.
And slow start. Slow start, that one too. Fall behind.
So now roster building, right? You were just talking, Glenn. You were just saying about Bills having these weapons, right? So – we got a first-round blocking receiver, okay? We spent almost $400 million in contracts. If you look at Judon, his amount of plays today, not a lot. Donald Smith.
Judon's been banged up for a few weeks.
Judon's on a problem, Dino. Come on.
No, I'm not complaining about Judon. I think he's great.
He's on my list of...
But I'm saying is he was the only guy you paid that... And Bourne didn't pay him a lot, but he's been productive. Jonnu Smith doesn't play.
Right.
Okay.
True.
Harry's a disaster.
No, he's not.
Okay.
Oh, Nico. Okay, Nikhil Harry. I'm sorry. I thought you said Henry.
He'll be gone. He won't be here. The interesting thing about him today is because they had activated or brought him up from the practice squad, Christian Wilkerson. Mm-hmm. So you thought he might play in this game. And then, of course, he's a healthy scratch, and they go with Nikhil Harry. And you know why? Because they planned on running the football, and they were going to use him as a blocker. And then he became useless because they couldn't run the football because they were down by three scores.
So other on defense, I love McCourty, thankful for everything he did, Hightower, too.
But you're missing the point, Dino. You're missing the point. Hold on, Dino. Dino, you're missing the point. I know they spent a lot of dollars. I'm looking at three articles right now that have all been written in the last 2 weeks about how a great job Bill Belichick and the Patriots did. And these are all people that think he should be the executive of the year. And these are national analysts all saying what a great job he did signing all these players. What you're doing is after they lose and get embarrassed in a playoff game, you're diminishing all of them. They did a really good job, Dino. You're not going to score on every single free agent.
No. But Jonnu Smith is athletic, talented. Maybe he's stupid because when he ran a route today, they were right next to each other, and that almost got picked. So I don't understand your point.
If you're talking about – I think this was an embarrassing loss tonight. I think the rebuilding program that they have encountered on over the last year to this point is on the road to some success. Am I missing something?
Yeah. No. You're not. But
okay, Jones, we agree then.
Definitely get strong. Jones needs to get stronger. I don't know why they didn't.
We can go through the whole roster. We don't have enough time to do that. But I'm glad we end the call on an agreement. We both agree with the call, because I think what people are going to do, and you tell me if I'm wrong, guys, that people are going to take a loss. It's an embarrassing loss. You're pissed off. Let's face it. People are pissed off when you lose like this. You're sitting there going, as fans, you're screaming at the TV. You no good.
He sucks.
Exactly. That's what everybody's doing. So now you're going to expand that, and now you're going to make it a bigger issue on how they screwed up. I am telling you, go and look at the last few weeks, and Bill Belichick is probably going to win executive of the year. And all these articles have been written here, and all these quotes from people, based on the fact that he did a terrific job, albeit that he spent a fortune in the offseason, but he did a really good job of rebuilding a roster and getting them back in the mix. And we're going to throw that all out because guys didn't show up. Certainly the defense didn't show up to play tonight. How does that make any sense?
It doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, would you have preferred every single one of your free agents to hit? Of course. Jonnu Smith didn't bring much to the table. I think Hunter Henry is fine. I think he's going to be better as Mac gets better. I think Jonnu Smith will be better as Mac gets better too. So, but if you just talk about this year's production, I think the free agency was fine with Judon and Henry was fine and Bourne was fine. I think he did okay. I think he did probably better than most teams when you're talking about.
And you had a good draft.
And they did have a good, very good draft. And then, but you know, you probably had more major free agent moves than most teams. I mean, they went out and spent some money.
Yeah,
yes, so they did.
Yeah, if you hit on 3 out of 4, that's great. If you hit on 4 out of 6, that's great.
If you want to compare it, and you want to compare it to Buffalo. Buffalo has been rebuilding now for 20-plus years. We go back to the Fred Smirlis era, okay? They've been rebuilding for a long period of time. They finally seem to have gotten it right. It took them a long time to do it. There are a bunch of other teams you can look at around this league that are still trying to rebuild and figure a way, and they can't get it done. Detroit and Jacksonville. We can go. It wasn't that long ago. Jacksonville beat the New England Patriots in a regular season game after the Patriots had beaten them in the playoffs.
Yep.
You guys remember this? Everybody said Jacksonville Jaguars are the team of the future. Watch out. They have finally figured this up. They're loaded with talent.
Yes.
All these first-round draft picks. Guess what? They're all gone now. They're all gone. And now they have a quarterback and a bunch of, you know, ham and eggers surrounding him right now, and who knows when they'll ever be back. Don't take tonight's game and expand it to the point where you think that the rebuilding process isn't underway. It's far from completed. There's no question about it. They got a long way to go. And they have a lot of moves to make here in this offseason. And maybe even more when it comes to leadership positions, as we just said. But don't take tonight's game and think this thing has been a colossal failure. You're still looking at 2-3 years away. But I think you're on the road to actually being in the mix of all of this. Nobody thought they were going to be in the playoffs, except for Fred. I give Fred credit.
Yeah, I agree. You're, if you want to look at rebuilding, you've missed the playoff for what, 1 year?
1 year.
You missed the playoff for 1 year?
1 year.
And
Cincinnati today won their first home playoff game in 31 years.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
31 years. With Marv Lewis as their coach for 15 of those. We got to take a break. We'll be back with Fred, with Steve. It is the final real postgame show, and we're going to pick the Cars for Kids Patriots player of the game. I'm going to give the boys 2 choices. Let's see what they come up with. All right, you boys still with me? Still going strong? Ready? Want another cup of coffee? All right, buddy.
That would be his seventh.
Seventh cup of coffee?
Yeah.
There is, I think, there is a period where you OD on coffee and you go in the other direction.
Yeah, diminishing return on the,
yes.
Yeah.
A certain point where almost it becomes like decaffeinated, that it does just the opposite. I don't know about you guys, but I know people love to do this at night. Because they want to sleep, so they go into a restaurant. Maybe they had a couple of glasses of wine or whatever. Maybe they were in Fred and Steve's. And then you sit there, hey, can I have some decaf? Decaf puts me to sleep. Yeah. So if I'm driving home and I've had a couple of glasses of wine and I have a decaf, it's the worst thing I could do.
Well,
worst thing. Give me the cappuccino and spike it.
Agreed.
Load it.
I've always wondered the decaf. I mean, I like some coffee, but coffee is to get you going. Coffee's the
a little
caffeine.
Spark.
Coffee's the caffeine.
Yeah.
It's you know, I know there's a lot of foo-foo drinks out there, and that's fine. I try them once in a while. But,
Once in a while.
Well, I have a flat white at Starbucks, like, once a month, right, with sprinkles and maybe a little caramel, maybe. As long as the milk's frothy, because if it's not frothy, I'm giving it back. But yeah, no, I don't get the whole decaf coffee thing. It makes no sense to me.
All right, here we go. We got the Patriot player of the game. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. So I have 2 choices for you fellas. The number one choice would be the MVP of the season, Nick Folk. He had a field goal and 2 point after touchdown.
5
so
points.
2 PAT. So he right there accounted for 5 points for you.
Points.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's the first one. The second one would be Dietrich Wise. And you say, what? What the hell did Dietrich Wise
Excuse me?
He blocked a PAT in this game.
To
and
keep
it was
him,
the it was the Patriot highlight of the game.
Right, because you were only
it
down.
Was the only time
you were only down 20-0 at that point instead of 21.
Wow!
Could you imagine if you were down 21?
It was the only time you stopped them. You got to give it to him. What do you want?
No Mac Jones? No.
Patrick Ford. No, I think we'll pass on Mac Jones.
I think Mac Jones.
Oh, stop it.
Mac Jones.
You just missed miss Brady so much. You're
projecting. You mentioned it. I was going to mention.
You're projecting.
Not projecting.
He had two interceptions.
He was under. One guy blocks a
Fred, I'm not saying it was his fault that they lost because the defense never gave the offense an opportunity to actually do anything or follow the game plan that they had worked all week on. So I give you that. I'm not blaming any of this on Mac Jones, but I'm not giving him a vote for the player of the game.
No.
Patrick Ford! Judon, no. I can't go through the Barmore, no. J.C. Jackson, no.
Kendrick Bourne had a nice
I would
rushes.
Say, Dez, I'll give you one. Kendrick Bourne, but let's face it. Did Kendrick Bourne do any of it when the game was still in the mix?
Oh, now you're you know.
Game was over.
Now you're nitpicking.
The game was over. Right? I don't give the Patriot player of the game when the game is over. You got to do it when the game is still in progress. And this game was in progress until about 3 minutes into the
you know
second
what?
Quarter.
Let's do a
half and half.
Well, no, not at all. We'll go with our kicker. And only because I think he's had such a good year, too. How's that sound? He was the only one.
Isn't it amazing that early in last season, and last season was a complete disaster, that nobody had faith in Nick Folk? Nope. He was kind of a laughing stock. It was kind of, we would actually talk about him on the shows, and people would laugh at Nick Folk.
Yep.
And yet you look back at last season and this season, and who has been the most consistent player on the New England Patriots?
Not even a question.
Not even close.
Well, J.C. Jackson. Well,
J.C. Jackson's been very, very
good. He's been good. Last 2 years. But, yeah, you're right, because that was almost a point of it was almost like people were looking out, okay, what kicker might be available? Well, who can we get instead of Folk? Who can we get to kick for us? Because – nobody wanted him there.
They drafted a guy in what the
That's
fourth
right.
round.
That's right.
And then he had all the tattoos, and they were you know,
Nazi tattoos or something.
People weren't sure what he was into, and that messed up, I think, his confidence because the kid was he was fraud. Where is he these days? I don't even remember the kid's name. Do you remember the kid's name? I don't even remember his
Adolf,
name. Nick, look it up. I don't even
Justin
remember.
Justin Rohrwasser.
Thank you. What is it again? Say it again.
Justin Rohrwasser.
Yeah, it was a weird
Rohrwasser.
Name.
Rohrwasser. Oh, Wasser.
Where is he today?
Back in Germany.
Back in Marshall.
Yeah.
But he was so messed up, and then, you know, he was going to remove the tattoos and start life all over again, and then I think he just lost all confidence because he was terrible. Even in practice, they said he was awful.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, let's go with Folk in terms of, you know, you scored five. You did your job. You were the one guy that came out. He was excited. He did his job. Did well.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's what it's come down to for this game. That's how bad it was. He came out and did his job on three plays.
That is unbelievable.
Well done.
Yep. So there you go, Nick Folk, your Cars for Kids Patriot player of the game. Let me take one more phone call. This is Jack. He's calling from Denver, Colorado. Hello, Jack.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I watched the game a few weeks back against the Bills, and I'm by no means a defensive expert, and I understand what you're saying about effort, but did you see anything that they were doing defensively that looked like they were doing something that they had learned from the game a few weeks back? Or, you know, I saw the same crossing patterns, or do you think they came into this game and just thought, you know, Josh Allen, he's not going to be as good as he was a few weeks ago?
No. I don't think they count on that at all. I don't think Belichick's ever counted on someone not being – he thinks he's a great player. In the years I played for Belichick, I never heard anybody saying, you know what, he can't be that good again, can he? It was like, no, he's that good. Let's figure out how to stop him. So, no, there's nothing to that idea. And I'm sure that they thought they had some things going, and it didn't work.
No, I think they were certainly
some of it did.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, what nothing did? Worked for
what worked.
Nothing.
They averaged 8.9 yards per play. What worked?
They won 10 games, Steve.
No, no, no. We're talking about the game.
Oh, tonight. This game.
Tonight.
Game.
Nothing worked. Oh. Yeah. Nah, nothing worked.
Nothing worked.
See, and they worked. And obviously, we knew that what they were talking about is you've got to make sure you contain Josh Allen. They were unable to do that. He was able to find, you know, free lanes. And there were a couple of times he actually he was sliding, and he didn't have to. He could have got himself another 7 or 8 yards, and he was playing the cautious route. Here's one that we haven't mentioned at all night, because I think we all thought maybe it was an advantage for New England going into Buffalo with the cold weather, because we remember game one against Buffalo this year. It was not only cold weather, but it was snow, it was wind, all of the elements. Maybe New England was the one that couldn't deal with the cold weather.
Could be.
Because I don't think Buffalo had any problem at all with the cold weather.
Nope.
For all of the talk during the course of the week that Josh Allen's feet apparently go numb in cold weather, for all of the talk that he is less, you know, 50% completion percentage in cold weather, and, you know, his numbers are awful, even though he wins games in cold weather, the numbers tell you that he doesn't play well in it. Maybe he took Ryan Clark's who was it?
Bart Scott.
Bart Scott's advice. Yeah. He took some Viagra for the game tonight. I don't know. But all I know is that he played well in the cold weather. Maybe New England was freaked out by the cold weather.
Could be.
Is that possible?
He played college ball in where, Wyoming?
Yes.
That gets cold.
A little bit.
Yeah, Wyoming's cold.
But the numbers.
Not
numbers.
Alabama cold, but it's cold, you know.
It's a little cold in Alabama.
That's right.
But is it possible that the Patriots weren't physical enough, because they're sitting and go, ooh, we're shivering. I know David Andrews went out there with shirt sleeves and the T-shirt and the warm-up, and I saw all that stuff.
That's stupid. You know,
oh, stop it. That's,
I've tried it.
Please.
Stupid. Doesn't work.
Please.
That doesn't work.
That's macho stuff.
Nobody cares.
Stop it. Yeah. You know what? That's not science. I know we debate science every day in society. That's not science.
No, it's not.
No. It's a knucklehead who thinks he can defy it and say, I'm bigger than that. You know, stop it.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No, you wear warm stuff. Layers, right? Layers.
Yes, correct. But the stuff they have now is so much better than it used to be. I mean, it used to be...
Oh, that thin ski stuff is a layer. Yeah, it's awesome.
It used to be you'd look like a Michelin man if you played in 8-degree weather. You'd have hoodies and sweatshirts on you.
It's not the best look for fat people. I'll give you that, okay? I've done it, you know, and I get it.
Nope.
But it keeps you warm.
It does.
Okay, how many of those tailgates did we all wrap ourselves in a zillion layers?
Until we put the fire pit in. Until we put the fire pit in, right?
Exactly. Well, the fire pit changed everything. They should have done that. They should have had a firefight in the huddle.
Well, didn't Buffalo have chicken soup, a hot chicken soup on the sidelines?
Yes, they did on the sidelines. Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea at all.
Because you want to hydrate, because you don't normally hydrate because water's cold, right?
And right, yeah.
So you'll
get colder.
That way you can hydrate and it's warm. That's a pretty good idea.
That was a good idea. It was strange because I don't think I've ever even heard of that before.
They ever do that in the old days? Jim Kelly on the sideline, put a big old kettle out there and put some chicken soup on
it? No, men were men back then.
Hey.
All right?
No.
Hire some chicken soup.
No, they know the stuff that kept them warm. All right?
But that's something probably people should address. The Patriots, we all thought the Patriots had an advantage. Nationally, I think most of the analysts I heard kept on, if they were going to pick New England, and some did in this game, they cited the weather.
Yeah, but
maybe it was just the opposite.
But who'd be more inclined to inclement weather, Buffalo or Foxborough?
Well, I think people are looking at the history of the Patriots in cold weather.
Yes,
okay. Even though Tom Brady was the quarterback for most of those. And they're also looking at Buffalo's offense. Buffalo is more suited for maybe indoors, better weather because of the explosive offense. Plus, they were practicing indoors all week.
Right.
And Belichick threw his team outside.
Right.
So, but maybe we got it all wrong. Maybe the Patriots were intimidated.
Well, maybe going inside was a more of a casual look, and don't worry about it. It's smarter for us to – we're going to run our offense anyway, so it's smarter for us to go inside and try to get it down. And maybe the idea of –
it worked. That's all I know.
Maybe the idea of recognizing how cold it was going to be. I don't know. There's any number of ways you could look at it. Maybe if by acknowledging the cold and making your guys go outside in the cold weather and you know, maybe I don't know. I don't know.
We're going to find out in about 15. We're going to find out in about 15 minutes because you guys will be going out in the cold in 15 minutes.
I started my car 20 minutes ago, so I'm fine.
You're such a wuss. Huh? You are such a wuss.
What?
Did you start Fred's car?
Hell no.
Okay. Nope. So you let him freeze.
Yep.
What a friend. Wow. The best, isn't it? All right, we got one more segment on the Real Post Game Show for the entire season. It's coming up next.
Aww.
Yeah. All right, let me check the schedule. Let's see, next week. Who's on the schedule next week? Yeah, New England's not on there. Oh, sorry
Stop
to see
it.
That. What's the matter?
Stop it.
No? I thought I was hoping. You know, this has been such a fun season.
Wow.
Doing the show with you two guys.
It has been fun.
It's been great. It's been fun. The team was interesting, at least for periods of time.
Yes.
Not unlike last season, in which they were not interesting at all.
Not at all.
Boring, and you knew you were going nowhere with that team.
Yep.
At least this year, there were some good things, and there were some bad things. I mean, I think you got to be concerned with the way they finished. Maybe Belichick will talk a little bit about that this week. He'll be on. Is he on with Greg tomorrow? I don't know if he's on or not with Greg.
I would imagine. We'll see.
Well, usually when it ends like this, Bill doesn't do a show after. We've had that happen where we thought Bill was going to do a show and he didn't do. I'm sure Mac will do the show with Christian and Lou on Monday. But, this was a lot of fun this year. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I always enjoy working with you guys, and we've been doing this for a long time. But I thought there were a lot of interesting things to talk about with this team.
Agreed. Yeah. It was nice to see the progress that they made, and it was the idea that I loved all the intrigue about. Bill Belichick was just lucky that Mac Jones fell to 15, and then you look at it in depth and you realize that. Maybe he wasn't really that lucky. Maybe he kind of had an idea that this was going to happen. I love that in during training camp and everything, a bunch of people are, oh, he's just so lucky that Mac Jones fell.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. There's a guy that doesn't really – I don't think Bill Belichick is a big subscriber to trying to be lucky. I'm not sure that's
I don't
his
think that
makeup.
Will work out in the future.
I don't think it's his makeup. No. And then to see the kid come along. And I tell you what I've enjoyed too is his post game press conferences. He's straightforward, and he's going to toe a little bit of the company line, but it doesn't feel like he's sincere in what he's saying. It's nice to see.
He's a good man.
Yeah, I like it.
I think people love seeing somebody take responsibility.
Yes, okay. Agreed.
And so I want to close out the show by having Fred take responsibility. He told us at the beginning of the season, Patriots would be in the Super Bowl.
This is true.
They are not. I'm sure you told the Buffalo fans the same exact thing.
That's a good point.
So I think you owe us all an apology.
Just go ahead.
You were wrong, Fred.
Just say I was wrong.
The only one that said they'd be in it. So
in what? Be in what? Who? We're talking about the Bills
Super Bowl.
Now?
The
Bills
Super
now
Bowl.
Or
Remember
Patriots?
He calls it the Super Bowl.
And the Patriots.
Gentlemen, this has been.
just listen to me and not the two.
Don't worry, nobody in Buffalo's listening right now.
I've been listening to you. It's got me nowhere.
Nobody in Buffalo can hear you. All right.
And we want to thank Nick Lappin, who's been with us all season long, done a terrific job.
Thank you very much. Great stuff.
Thank him. You know, slip him a 20. Slip him under the table to him on the way.
Fred doesn't even do that at his own restaurant.
It's been a lot of fun, guys. Really enjoyed it. We look forward to doing it again next year. Radio station. All right, WEEI.
We're coming to Arizona.
To Arizona. You can do it live out here.
Right.
What was the final? 47-17.
I don't want to hear
final.
It.
That was your final.
I don't care.
Have a great night, everybody. Good night. Good night. Evening. See you, Fred. Bye,
see
Steve.
Ya, see ya.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.